Dhruva Maharaj returns home. Text number 7. Ekast, my Lord, you are the Supreme One, but by your different energies you appear differently to in the spiritual and material worlds. You create the total energy of the material world by your external potency, and after creation you enter within the material world as the Supersoul. You are the Supreme Person, and through the temporary modes of material nature you create varieties of manifestation, just as fire entering into wood of different shapes burns brilliantly in different varieties. Purport. Dhruva Maharaj realized that the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, acts through his different energies, not that he becomes void or impersonal and thus becomes all-pervading. The Mayavadi philosopher thinks that the Absolute Truth, being spread throughout the cosmic manifestation, has no personal form. But here Dhruva Maharaj, upon realization of the Vedic conclusion, says, you are spread all over the cosmic manifestation by your energy. This energy is basically spiritual, but because it acts in the material world temporarily, it is called Maya, or illusory energy. In other words, for everyone but the devotees, the Lord's energy acts as external energy. Dhruva Maharaj could understand this fact very nicely, and he could understand that the energy and the energetic are one and the same. The energy cannot be separated from the energetic. The identity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the feature of Paramatma, or Supersoul, is admitted here. His original spiritual energy enlivens the material energy, and thus the dead body appears to have life force. Voidist philosophers think that under certain material conditions, the symptoms of life occur in the material body. But the fact is that the material body cannot act on its own. Even a machine needs separate energy, electricity, steam, etc. It is stated in this verse that the material energy acts in varieties of material bodies, just as fire burns differently in different wood according to the size and quality of the wood. In the case of devotees, the same energy is transformed into spiritual energy. This is possible because the energy is originally spiritual, not material. As it is said, Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta. The original energy inspires a devotee, and thus he engages all his bodily limbs in the service of the Lord. The same energy as external potency engages the ordinary non-devotees in material activities for sense enjoyment. We should mark the difference between Maya and Svadham. For devotees, the Svadham acts, whereas in the case of non-devotees, the Maya energy acts. Mukram karoti bachalam pangam nunayate igrim yatkripadanam mande shri gurundina taranam. So I find that this verse and purport, although it may sound to be very philosophical, and it is, of course, but it has a very profound relevance on the Sankirtan mission. Because here, Srila Prabhupada is explaining so nicely that, as we were also saying this morning, the Lord's energy is one. The difference is just in how it acts. So, the karmis, because they're acting for sense gratification, and that activity, of course, requires energy. All activity needs energy. So that energy that powers their activities is called Maya, because their interests are separate from the Lord. The devotee, the Sankirtan devotee, he goes out into the same, here we are in Amsterdam or anywhere, but any locale, any city, streets full of people, just like there's so many karmis going out in the streets for their business. So the devotee is also going out, and he's distributing books, he's making Lakshmi. So also out there's so many karmis, so many bookshops, even doing exactly the same thing, selling books or selling other things, selling fish and selling cigarettes and taking in money, talking, stopping to people. So these activities superficially are the same. But here we learn that the devotee, because his intent is to serve Krishna, therefore, the energy which is powering his activity is spiritual. So Srila Prabhupada nicely points out that the energy, all energy, is originally spiritual. But it becomes transformed temporarily into material energy because of the karmi's desire for sense gratification. But as long as the devotee's desire is simply to serve Krishna, then the energy that is powering his activities is transcendental. It is actually the Vaikuntha energy that is specifically indicated here. Srila Prabhupada quotes this line, Vishnu Shakti Pura Prokta, which is from Vishnu Purana. And this is actually describing the Vaikuntha energy, Vishnu Shakti, para, transcendental. And also, interestingly enough, Srila Prabhupada says svadam. The svadam means what? Means the abode of the Lord. Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, is the Lord's own svadam. So Prabhupada is writing here that the devotee is actually within the dham, the svadam of the Lord. He writes, we should mark the difference between maya and svadam. For devotees, the svadam acts, whereas in the case of non-devotees, the maya energy acts. So this is wonderful. This means wherever the devotee goes, even if it's in the center of hellish Amsterdam, all around there's all kinds of insanity. Or any, you go to many cities and all are crazy, aren't they? Maybe Amsterdam is a little more crazy, but otherwise... this is Kali Yuga, so there's so much nonsense going on. And the devotee is standing in the midst of this. But he is not in Kali Yuga. He's not in Amsterdam or Antwerp or any other material location. He's actually in the spiritual world, in the Svadham. And we must mark very well the difference is in the devotee's purpose. Actually, it is the same energy. But as I said, Maya Devi, the Lord's energy, is within our heart, along with Krishna. She knows very well what our motivations are. And so according to the motivation, she is acting, either as internal potency for the devotees or external potencies for the non-devotees. So, this is, you know, when we talk, when you have Sankirtan meetings, then I think the really main point, there may, of course, you discuss other points, technical management points, but the real point of a Sankirtan meeting is empowerment. Am I right? That you want to have an enlivening meeting discussing Sankirtan, involving everyone, so that at the end everyone feels the power to go out and distribute books for another week with full enthusiasm. So actually the subject here is this very power. The power comes with the intention. If we have the intention to only serve this mission, the Sankirtan mission, then automatically power is there. Now Srila Prabhupada has created ISKCON for this mission. This ISKCON is empowered. Because this ISKCON, in this movement, it's a wonderful movement. So many different kinds of activities are manifesting and keep manifesting more and more. So it's certainly a dynamic, very wonderful, very powerful movement which is spreading all over the world. So power is there. No doubt. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said, ISKCON is a sample of Vaikuntha. So to be a member of ISKCON means to be in Vaikuntha. The power is there. So if we want to take full advantage of this power, it is up to us. It is up to our intention. If we have the intention, the power is there. No one should have doubt about that. It's very clear. It's very simple. But the point is that we should not be like I'm thinking of this Balabhata in Antya Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita. chapter 7. So Vallabhabhatta, he also attained the association of Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. That means he was within the Vaikuntha potency. Actually, he himself was a devotee of the Lord. But he had a different intention. We could say a slightly different intention. His intention was to become distinct. Among Lord Chaitanya and his associates, he wanted to have a special position. So he was not surrendered to the mission of the Lord. Rather, he wanted to use that potency that comes from the Lord and his associates for his own purpose. So he achieved his distinction, but not quite in the way that he hoped for. It is described there that he became like a duck among swans. Because he was always coming before the Lord and his associates and presenting some different idea, some special interpretation of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was again and again being smashed for that. So it is very clearly said that Lord Chaitanya was completely unmoved. He did not give him even an inch. He did not allow him even an inch to manifest his own independent ways of thinking, his own independent way of devotional service within the Vaikuntha potency. So why is that? Because some people, even those associated with our movement, sometimes they're arguing in this way that we should not be dogmatic. We should not be narrow-minded. Rather, people should be able to think freely and have their own opinion and develop their service in some independent way. And yet this is all Krishna consciousness and it's all the same. You see, if someone is going out and distributing books, all right, that's all right, that's nice. But if someone else develops some other independent program of preaching, that may not be so much in the historical tradition or may not be something that Srila Prabhupada established, but it is something he has thought of in his own way, then that should be considered to be exactly the same. Exactly that. But we don't find this. We don't find that Lord Chaitanya was allowing this Vallabhabhatta to get away with having his own independent ideas, his own independent program. Instead, he was smashing him. It is very specifically saying, smashing him. Now we should think about why. Well, it is pointed out there in that chapter that Vallabhabhatta's problem was that he was proud. It's not to say, we should be very clear, that it's not to say that there is no room, Hare Krishna, that there is no room in Krishna consciousness or in ISKCON for individual expression of devotional service. Krishna gives us intelligence. Krishna is guiding us from within the heart. And so, yes, devotees can certainly use their intelligence for Krishna. That's not the point. That we should not use our intelligence for Krishna. But the problem is that when this independent spirit is manifested out of pride, when one, as Vallabhabhatta was doing, one wants to distinguish himself and become honored by others for his unique insight or unique contribution or unique program, he's actually looking to be respected and honored. So this is not what is liked, because this pride, it actually goes against the interest of Lord Krishna himself, the mission of the Lord himself. Just like Lord Krishna 5,000 years ago when he was planning his departure from this world. He thought, I have to take the Yadu dynasty with me. Now, why did he think like that? Yadu dynasty are all his devotees. He did not want to leave them on the face of the earth. And because he foresaw that if they remain, then the descendants of the Yadu dynasty will become very proud, thinking that, yes, we are Krishna's descendants, we are special, we are the chosen people, and we can do what we like. So Lord Krishna didn't want his, so to speak, his good name to be stained by the irresponsible activities of persons who would use, again, Krishna's potency or Krishna's legacy for their own independent purposes. So therefore, you can see how strict, we can use that word, or how uncompromising Lord Krishna was, in that he arranged that the whole Yadu dynasty killed each other. Now this is a particular leela which is very hard for some persons to understand. There were Krishna's people, Krishna's own family. How was it that they could, in this way, get drunk and beat each other over the head and die? Why would Krishna allow such a thing? But that was Krishna's purpose. Because he is so much against this manifestation of pride, because pride is the opposite of Krishna consciousness. And so similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he immediately cut down Balabha Bhatta's pride. You cannot, what he was saying, in other words, is that you cannot be associated with me and my devotees, and you cannot go under the guise of a Vaishnava. And yet at the same time, be concocting all kinds of independent ideas and putting them forward as the absolute truth. Just like this movement, ISKCON, it is so powerful. As I said, it is the Lord's own Vishnu Shakti, sample of Vaikuntha here in this world. It is powerful. So power is there. Power is there to flood the world with transcendental knowledge. But power is also there to flood the whole world with ignorance. An illusion. You see? That is why within ISKCON we have to be strict. GBC has to be strict to see that there are no upstarts who take this Vaishnava philosophy and bend it in their own way and propagate some different idea. I've been reading some books lately about the history of philosophy and science and Western thought, and also the problems that has come from all these things, these speculations. And it's very interesting to show where it all starts. It all starts with upstart theologians. See, there was the Christian church, they had their doctrine. Of course, it is not pure, but anyway, the form is there. The form of a sampradaya is there. Since the very beginning, there were upstart theologians who had their own idea. And for a while, they could be controlled. They were controlled in quite brutal ways sometimes. But gradually, because also the church itself is not a pure institution, so they lost the power gradually to control these fellows. And then you see, this is where it all starts. We talk about the demoniac scientists and in all the ways that they have degraded society and made so many problems for pious people and promoted atheism. But actually, as one scientist himself noted, that this modern science is just an extension of theology. That actually the roots of it starts in Christian theology, with Christian monks and scholars who began to speculate in their own way, and just see the result. So Srila Prabhupada is our founder acharya. He's established this ISKCON, given it potency. Prabhupada came from Goloka Vrindavan to this world bearing the potency, the full potency of Krishna. That's why we understand him to be Shakti Veshavatar. For the purpose of preaching, spreading Lord Chaitanya's mission around the world, Srila Prabhupada was given this full potency to establish the embassy of Vaikuntha. ISKCON is the embassy of Vaikuntha. Someone actually asked Srila Prabhupada that the Lord Chaitanya was God. So God came to this world 500 years ago. Why didn't God himself spread Krishna consciousness all around the world? He was God, so he could have done it. Why didn't he do it? Prabhupada replied, he left that for me to do. So actually, we see, just as Lord Krishna in his pastimes, his devotees, he so much loves his devotees, that his devotees display more power than he does. Therefore, sometimes when they're wrestling, Krishna is defeated by another cowherd boy. We may think, but that other cowherd boy, he's not God. Krishna is God. How is it possible? But this is the Lord's loving exchange. He loves to promote his devotees more than himself. So he gives them more power so that they can even defeat him. And yet, that devotee doesn't become puffed up. This is the difference, you see. Krishna gives him power. He can be defeated, but that devotee never becomes puffed up. So this is the answer. Maybe you've heard that riddle they sometimes ask. If God is all-powerful, then can he create a stone or a mountain, a weight that he himself cannot lift? Have you heard this?
Yeah.
Yes. So this is the answer. Yes, God can make his devotee more powerful than he. But at the same time, that devotee remains God's devotee. He never says, oh, now I'm God. Huh? He remains in his position of servant of Krishna. So this is why the relationship between the Lord and his devotees is so, it is called confidential. Confidential. Prabhupada writes about the Vishnu Dutas that any Vishnu Duta, he could present himself to be Vishnu. Who could argue? If Vishnu Duta comes to this material world with his transcendental blue form and four arms, empowered by Lord Krishna, and if he comes and says, I am the Supreme Lord, who would argue? Who among us could argue with him? How could we tell he's not the Supreme Lord? He's fully empowered by the Vaikuntha potency. He looks like the Supreme Lord. He has spiritual body. He has full power. But Vishnu Dutas never say, I'm the Supreme Lord. This is why the relationship between the Lord and his devotees is so, it is said to be confidential. Materialists cannot understand it because this is materialistic mentality that, oh, yes, if God would give me his power, then what wouldn't I do? Yes, then I would do this and I would do that. He would manifest all of his illicit desires. So this is why Lord Krishna is so strict. He was so strict with the Yadu dynasty. I'm leaving, you must also leave. And this is why Lord Chaitanya was so strict with Vallabha Bhatta, making him look like a duck among swans. That you cannot take my power and use it for your own nonsense ends. And this is why also Srila Prabhupada was so strict with his movement, ISKCON. He did not want any concoction entering this movement. He did not want to see anyone using the potency of this movement to propagate nonsense throughout the world. So that possibility is there. The power is there. ISKCON is now respected all over the world, practically in every country in the world. ISKCON is respected. Respected spiritual movement. So how vigilant we have to be. Constantly vigilant to see that the good name, just like Krishna's good name, he did not want his good name to be misused by descendants of the Yadu dynasty. Lord Chaitanya did not want to see his good name misused by Vallabha Bhatta. And so similarly, how vigilant we have to be to see that the good name of this movement and of our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada be not misused by upstarts. And that tendency is there, especially in the Kali Yuga. The tendency is always there. To deviate, to, in the name of Vaishnavism, in the name of Srila Prabhupada's teachings, to introduce something new, concoct. And you see, as soon as that is done, as soon as someone gets away with that, then that is a great offense against Srila Prabhupada, who is the world acharya. So we have to be very, very careful about this idea that is sometimes propagated, that everyone should have their own point of view and be able to express it. And, every speculation, concoction that is somehow or other connected with Krishna, it must somehow or other be good because it is connected with Krishna in some way. This is very, very, very dangerous. And just as I was saying, all this demoniac science, which Prabhupada actually once said that it was his main mission in coming to the West to defeat all these rascals, meaning people like these scientists and mundane philosophers. He actually said this, that this was the heart of his mission. So we have inherited Srila Prabhupada's mission. This is the function of ISKCON, to destroy all this illusion. This is the purpose of this movement. So Prabhupada said, rascal scientists, rascal philosophers, rascal theologian. They should be hung, they should be shot. They should, PhD means plow department, Prabhupada said. They should be put out in the field to turn the earth and grow some crops and do something useful instead of talking all this baboon philosophy. So Srila Prabhupada is so heavy, so uncompromising. So now, as I said, where did all this start? So 2,000 years ago, there was also an empowered personality, Jesus Christ, who came. But circumstances were different. Life was much more primitive there. He was preaching to very uncivilized persons. So there was no tape recording of his lectures, no videos. He was going from village to village, preaching to this group, that group of people. And they were understanding whatever they could understand from one or two lectures. And then he would be gone, and they would say, yes, now we are Christians. And they would start preaching whatever they heard from one or two lectures. And they were, many of them were still engaged in sinful activities. I mean, this is the history. So, but Jesus was, he was powerful, no doubt about it. He is also Shakyavesh. And just see, there was some school, some sampradaya was established, but very soon, in just a few hundred years, it went completely off the track. And as a result, from this garden of Christianity, so many, many thorny, poisonous plants have grown. That is a fact, including the whole edifice of modern science, demoniac science, all of the terrible things that have been done in the name of science, the polluting of the world, the degrading of modern civilization, turning everyone into atheistic dogs and cats. This is all a result of the perversion of Christ's teachings, Christianity, because there was power there. So similarly now, Srila Prabhupada, I mean, now if we compare Srila Prabhupada to Jesus Christ, we can see Prabhupada is extremely empowered personality, empowered directly by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now if we allow this philosophy of, you know, just like Mao Zedong, he said, once said, let 100 flowers bloom, let 100 schools of thought contend. You know, in other words, he didn't really mean it either, but because everyone who started doing that, he immediately put in jail. But anyway, he said that. And then there are some who take this up as a cause. Yes, we cannot be so doctrinaire, we cannot be so dogmatic, simply following the authorities. We have our minds, we should invent, we should concoct, and so on. This is very, very, very dangerous, because it leads to the misuse of this potency, this great potency that Srila Prabhupada has endowed ISKCON with. And so here we are, you're going out, Sankirtan devotees, preaching, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books for Prabhupada's mission to defeat all this atheistic materialism. But if we ourselves are not careful about what we're doing with our own minds, if we ourselves start to concoct and speculate and introduce newer and newer strange ideas in the name of Krishna consciousness, then we will be the cause of a whole new generation of demonism, demoniac speculations, which will have, if ISKCON, if Krishna consciousness is so much more powerful than Christianity was, then how much more powerful the demoniac results will be of ISKCON devotees speculating and introducing some concoctions, mundane concoctions in the name of Krishna consciousness. How much more inauspicious the results will be. So that is not our mission, to spread ignorance and illusion through the world and deviate everyone. No, actually we're against that. So therefore we have to be very, very strict. And so just as I think all of you know, all Sankirtan devotees know, because Sankirtan is such, the book distribution mission is especially so nice. There are so many different kinds of preaching, but book distribution is so nice because it is really, if we compare, let us compare ISKCON to a knife or a sword or something like that for cutting through illusion. So every part of the sword is important. You have the handle and you have the body of the blade. So all of this must be strong and in good order. But especially to do the job, the edge must be very, very sharp. And you immediately know. You immediately know when you try to use a knife or a sword if it is dull, because it doesn't work properly. It's not cutting properly. So the edge has to be very, very, very sharp. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So the Sankirtan devotees are actually that cutting edge. And every Sankirtan devotee knows what it means to be sharp. We have to be sharp in Krishna consciousness to be able to go out and distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. We have to be strictly established in chanting and hearing our rounds very nicely without letting the mind wander. One has to be very careful about such activities as offering prasadam, preparing and offering prasadam to Krishna. One cannot be loose, because if as soon as you become loose in that respect, you immediately lose this power. I remember, sometimes I see still in the city of Berlin in Germany, I have a godbrother there, Bibishana. He was the Sankirtan leader in Germany in the 70s, at a time when German Sankirtan, even now, but then especially, it was very, very powerful in Prabhupada's time. And Prabhupada was very pleased with the results of book distribution there. But this was one thing, this Bibishana, he was the Sankirtan leader, but he was very loose about preparing and offering prasadam. When I came to Germany years later, I used to hear so many devotees would say, almost, it was like a joke, you know, that, in the morning they would just go into the cafe and they would get some cakes from under the counter and have the lady heat up some hot milk, and that way they would take breakfast for prasad. So Vibhisana, yes, you can see his condition now in Berlin. It's not very representative of a Prabhupada disciple. So his devotional service has pretty much come to an end for this lifetime because of that. Because this is the cutting edge, Sankirtan. So one has to be so strict in everything to remain sharp. If you become dull, this is what happens. If you become dull, then you cannot do the service. You see? It's just like a knife. When it becomes dull, it can't cut something. So then you can't do the service. You can't distribute books. And then you come into this quandary, what shall I do? I'm trying to distribute books, but I can't. And then one falls into so many doubts and starts to speculate about his service, and sometimes they give it up altogether. But we should understand there's a reason why we become dull. And that is because we're not being strict. So one has to be very, very strict. In the practice of Krishna consciousness, and following the regulative principles, and strict philosophically, strict with this mind, not allowing this mind to deviate in any way. And this way, one can remain nicely empowered by this Swadham potency, this Vishnu Shakti potency. So, especially for Sankirtan devotees, we have to be servants of your book distributors. That means you're servants of Prabhupada's books. Servants in the sense of distributing the books, yes, carrying the books to the people, but also you have to represent the knowledge. You have to embody this. Embody in the practice and in the understanding. So as long as one is nicely situated in that way, then there is have no doubt, there is unlimited power. The power is unlimited. The power is always increasing. As one engages in the mission nicely, then the power is ever increasing. I may have said how I remember a play that was put on in Atlanta, Georgia for Srila Prabhupada's pleasure. The play of Lord Chaitanya meeting the Kazi. So when in the play there was this discussion between the smarter Brahmins. They were talking, actually they had gone to the Kazi to complain that this Nimai Pandit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is ruining our Hindu religion because he is taking people out in the street to chant the holy name of the Lord. Everyone is hearing, he's getting everyone to chant. Even low-class people are chanting, everybody's chanting. In this way, the potency of the holy name will be lost, they were saying. He's ruining our religion by distributing the holy name to everyone. Then the holy name, its potency will be lost. Their idea was that you can only chant the holy name under very, very, very limited circumstances. Actually, in those days, these smarter Brahmins used to tell people, the only time you can chant Hare Krishna is when you're taking bath in the Ganga. Because you cannot commit any offense against the holy name. So when you're in the Ganga, you see, the Ganga is washing you clean of all sins, of all offenses. So then you can chant. But otherwise, don't ever chant. As soon as you chant, it will be offensive. Narayan is sleeping peacefully. If you chant in that way, he will become disturbed in his sleep and wake up and destroy the whole universe. So we don't want. So in this way, they were preaching. So when they were saying like this, Prabhupada was watching the play. Prabhupada had a microphone in front of him. So they were telling the Qazi, the potency of the holy name is lost by this Sankirtan. And Prabhupada spoke. He leaned forward and he spoke. So in the loudspeakers of the temple, it was like, you know, sometimes you read in the Krishna book, the voice from heaven. So Prabhupada said, to the contrary, the potency has already increased. What Prabhupada was saying, with every moment of Sankirtan, the potency of the holy name is increasing more and more and more. So we should never lose faith, we should never doubt this. That if one is strict in one's execution of the mission, then the potency to perform the mission is always increasing. There is no doubt. And this is why you have Sankirtan meetings, to talk about how to get that potency. But the potency is there. If we are fully surrendered to the mission, that means we have to become swan-like devotees of the Lord, not like ducks among swans, but we have to be swans ourselves. So, and that means to fully embody the vani, the message of Prabhupada's books. Once there was a discussion, Srila Prabhupada was discussing with his disciples, one famous Mayavadi guru, so-called guru in South India. And one devotee reported that this guru has said that these ISKCON people are bookworms, because whenever his disciples would meet the ISKCON devotees, of course the disciples would say, our guru is Krishna, our guru is God. And the ISKCON devotees would reply, quoting from Shastra, no, he is not God. He cannot be God. There is no such incarnation mentioned in the Shastra. He's not God. And they would debate, quoting so many verses, And of course, the disciples of the Mayavadi Guru, being ignorant, they did not know how to reply. So they came to their Guru. Whenever we meet these ISKCON devotees, we're telling them that you are God, and they are quoting so many shlokas and smashing us completely with their arguments. So then he said, oh, they are just bookworms. Everyone knows what a bookworm is? Yes. So Prabhupada, when he heard this, he said, yes, and he is a stool worm. He will become a stool worm in his next life for cheating so many people. Yes, so we should be bookworms. This is a fact. Like a worm is a humble creature. So a bookworm lives inside of a book and is always chewing. It finds its food in the book. So like that, we should be worms in the vast ocean of nectar of Srila Prabhupada's book distribution. We should be humble creatures, just like a lowly worm. And Prabhupada said, although a worm is so low, it is fixed in its purpose. Prabhupada gave the example of stool worm, but we're going to apply it to bookworm now. He said, if you take your stool worm, is in stool, you take it out, you want to do some good for the stool worm. Why are you in that stool? This is not good. You are a living entity also. You should not be in stool. And you take it out and you wash it off and try to put it in a nice dry place and give, you know, some other kind of food. But it will crawl back to the stool. A stool worm is very one-pointed. So if we are bookworms, then we should also be one-pointed. We should never deviate from the conclusions of Srila Prabhupada's books, and we should never deviate from the service of book distribution. Even we are... Sometimes it happens. It happens that as a book distributor gets older, then his body cannot carry on the service. So he's put in another position. But at least in his mind, he always goes back to the book distribution, meaning that, let's say, he becomes a temple president. So he manages the temple as a sankirtan party. And his business is to get all the devotees in the temple out to distribute Prabhupada's books. So this is a first-class temple president. So this means he's a bookworm. He's a good bookworm. Because even if he's taken out of the position of being a sankirtan devotee, his mind goes back. His mind is fixed. So if everyone in our movement is like that, bookworms, in all of our respective services, then ISKCON will always be empowered, more and more and more empowered, to spread the real mission of Krishna consciousness throughout the world. It's automatic. It's an automatic thing, as we've heard. The Lord's energies work automatically. It's not that we have to perform some kind of alchemy or magic to get this power. Sometimes we think like that. The power is there. This is such a nice, brilliant purport. I really love this purport. This Prabhupada is saying the power... Look at the karmis. They have so much power to do their nonsense. Whenever we come to the city of Amsterdam especially, we're always amazed as we drive in after some months of having been here, how much the nonsense culture has made progress in just a few months. One can always see that it's getting more gross and more insane than the last time I was here. So there's power for that. And Prabhupada has explained here that is the same power. It is actually the same power. But because their intention is different, therefore the power is manifesting differently in the external mic way. So, but power is there. Everybody has to work in this world. You have to do something. So if your determination, if your dedication in your heart is to serve Krishna purely by distributing these books of Srila Prabhupada, then power is there. Power is there. I don't have to speculate. That's the whole problem, that we start speculating. That's the whole problem. And that is that's what changes the power, you see. The power is there, but if you start to speculate, then gradually, imperceptibly, the power changes from spiritual to material. And then this powerful movement is gone. This is the great... We should never... never become, relaxed on this point. Never become casual on this point. That Srila Prabhupada has invested this movement with power. Prabhupada did not take ISKCON with him when he left the world, like Krishna did. So this is another thing. This is another way that shows that Lord Krishna gives more power to his devotees than even he himself. Because Krishna thought, if these... But Srila Prabhupada left ISKCON, empowered ISKCON and left it. So we have to be very, very vigilant that this power of this movement, this lead demanding, as I said, it's like the edge of the knife. You know, you're using a knife. So as soon as it becomes dull, you notice it. And you know, now I have to sharpen it. So this is the good fortune of Sankirtan devotees. As soon as you see yourself starting to become a little dull, then you know something's wrong. And you have to start sharpening yourself again. Sharpening your Krishna consciousness. So every devotee has to be like that. Therefore, the Sankirtan devotees, they play such an important role in our movement. Because they are the cutting edge. And all the rest of us devotees, we can actually test. Because this is really where the power is flowing. So you have a great responsibility, all of you, to remain sharp in your Krishna consciousness, so that the real mission, it's so nice, you know, you have such a nice service, you just distribute books, Prabhupada's books, you can't go wrong with that. If you just do it, everything's perfect, you can't go wrong. Whereas in other kinds of preaching, sometimes, you know, there's some doubt about what is right, what is wrong, whether we should present things in this way or that way. But with book distribution, you just distribute books. And the more books, Prabhupada said like this, the more books you distribute, then that is a success. So it's very, very easy. You just distribute more and more books. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So you're joining the Sankirtan party also?
No, I come from Cologne, and I will visit Movement by Bekanten here in Amsterdam.
Uh-huh.
And ich habe gehört, dass hier der Tempel ist, und es heute noch ein besonderes Fest.
Yeah.
You was also in Cologne,
eh? Yeah.
I have seen you in Cologne. Too.
That's right, some years ago. Hi,
Krishna. Krishna, it's very nice.
Any questions? Yes.
There's one statement of Prabhupada, you know, he said, Prabhupada said, the secret remains powerful as long as it remains a secret, it's kept a secret. As soon as the secret is told to everyone, it's not powerful anymore. So I was thinking in connection with his Brahman, that's the same about his holy name.
The holy name is not a secret.
Because you have also secret mantras.
Well, that's another thing. Yeah, there are some, the mantras for the Brahmanas themselves, Gayatri mantra, and sannyasis have their mantra. So not everybody is a Brahmana, not everybody is a sannyasi. So that mantra must be kept only among the Brahmanas, sannyasis, etc. But holy name is for everybody, just like Krishna is for everybody. Krishna is not different from his holy name. Once Prabhupada was hearing, he was attending an initiation ceremony. Well, he was giving initiation, but he asked a sannyasi to give the lecture. And Prabhupada was just giving the beads and the names. So at one point in the lecture, this sannyasi said, Krishna is in his holy name. Prabhupada immediately corrected him. No, Krishna is his holy name. Not that Krishna is in his holy name, but Krishna is his holy name. So Krishna is for everybody. So the holy name is for everybody, no doubt. Any other points? Yes.
Yes. You speak about to sharpen the edge, the sword of the knife. So, especially with this marathon, during the marathon, we find many times at the beginning all the edges are very sharp, because there's not too much time for reading, or everybody's too much focused on book distribution. Then sometimes after 2 weeks, then especially in the Netherlands, we see that we are dragging on the marathon, and 5 weeks is too long, so that we have to do 4 weeks, because we cannot So how to keep even in the marathon to keep it sharp?
Well, a marathon is marathon. The word marathon comes. There's a city in Greece still there, Marathon. So they used to have in very olden times some kind of contest, sports contest, where men were running, I think, for 24 hours or 48 hours nonstop. It was a race, just running. And so it's from this that we get the word marathon. So that's a marathon. So one has to be in training. You know, one has actually, you have to keep yourself in training. You see, just like marathon runners, it's not that the whole year they're just laying around eating popcorn and getting fat and lazy. And then, oh, tomorrow's marathon, okay. If they were like that, then, you know, after the first 2 kilometers, they'd all be dropping dead of heart attacks. So the whole year, they practice. And the idea is to build up one's stamina so that when there is marathon, then they can complete the course, running nonstop for 24, 48 hours. So you have 5 weeks. It's also like a course. So the whole year, we should be marathon conscious. You're distributing books, you should take that as your practice for the marathon. If every book distributor was conscious in that way, you know, not just going out and selling the books in the day and that's it and coming back, but thinking, yeah, I have to get in shape for Christmas marathon. So I should try staying out a little longer. I should try, you know, selling more books, you know, to keep up the power. Because this is how the sportsmen do it. They have their big, you know, marathon or Olympia contest. So throughout the year, they're always pushing their limits, practicing, staying in shape and also pushing their limits a little more each day. And then when the marathon comes, they're ready. So you have to think like that. Of course, now it's a little late, isn't it? Marathon's only a few weeks away. So you better get in shape. There was another guess.
I was thinking about the Krishna's in the lecture. Sometimes when I read them in the students, I start arguing and say, with the Krishna, we have to follow what Jesus Christ is saying. And usually Krishna's don't do it. And then the Krishna goes, it's your judge, I'm not judge, it's your judge. And then I'm trying to scratch. And I always thought this
person. Well, I think the main answer to that question is, why you waste your time talking with these people? With these kind of people, it is a waste of time. They will have endless arguments and endless reasons for not accepting our philosophy. In the meantime, while we're talking with them, there's so many other people walking by who we could be talking with. So Prabhupada says the only business of these non-devotees is to interfere with Sankirtan. We should understand that Maya sends them, because Maya is always testing this mission. So she sends such people to the book distributors to waste their time, to impede the book distribution. So don't waste your time with them. They put their arguments are, you know, stupid. They never end. They're never satisfied because they're just envious. So for such people like that, if you can engage them in some way, give them some prasad or at least get them to say Krishna, the holy name of Krishna or something, then that's all right. Then just send them on their way. But don't waste time with them. Yes?
Maharaj, sometimes we have very little method, like, for example, because the different books that Srila Prabhupada distributed, for example, we think, shall we make the devotion to complete beginner and this all boost for mass distribution?
Well, Prabhupada wanted all of his books to be distributed, no doubt. But some books are designated as what are called production books, books that are actually meant to be produced in large quantity for distribution. But here in the Benelux, I mean, you know, you have a whole warehouse full of all kinds of books by Krishna's arrangement. Well, that's all we can say. And they have to be distributed. So you just have to find a way to do it. But when things are more, you know, normally managed, then you have many numbers of one or two particular titles like Bhagavad Gita or Science of Self-Realization, books like that, which are designed to be accessible to the broad masses. And then you have less of more, shall we say, transcendentally technical literature, which are more meant for the persons who are interested, who come looking to buy our books, who want a full set. For also, they're distributed by devotees who specialize in set distribution. They meet people and preach to them in such a way as to interest them in taking a whole set. It's more specialized distribution.
Brian, it'd be useful for us to improve our technical presentation. Because I was talking to one of the people and he said the reason actually why, one of the reasons why they were distributing so huge in the past, collecting like sometimes $50,000 in a week or $10,000 in a week, that was because they had a very good technique. Then he gave example of Pandavas when he went to the forest, that Arjuna was not laying down or something or just relaxing. He went out to fight and get some divine weapons. And similarly said we have to have this technique. And then he said, give you example, even if you are then not a strong person, but some are like just the material quality being very strong. But if you are not a strong person, then you have to have a good weapon so you can present it in a nice way and you can sell books more easily. And then he said, then it becomes a game. So then you can stay out 10-12 hours in Sankirtan because it's not such a struggle anymore. Like if you do 6 hours Sankirtan with 15 books.
Well, I mean, this is nice, but one would have to look at what this technique is. One has to look at that. Because Prabhupada said that we should distribute books on the strength of the books. This is the best, this is, we can say, is the transcendental platform of book distribution. That you become an expert preacher, that is your technique. That you are able to stop someone and by a few words get them interested in the book itself. So in the past there have been seen some other attempts at technique which yielded over short term very nice results, especially you mentioned Lakshmi, much Lakshmi. But that actually should not be the focus of book distribution, just to collect, you know, bucketfuls of money. Profit. But there were such attempts to, for instance, by the same Sankirtan devotees, sometimes they're going out and selling other things besides books, perfumes or, you know, soaps or whatever it may be, carpets. And then at the end of the week or, you know, some other time after they've amassed a lot of money, then they go out and just practically pass out the books for free or for a very low price. So a lot of books go out and a lot of Lakshmi is collected. But if you now look for those devotees who are engaged in that type of preaching, many of them are no longer around anymore. We don't see that type of book distribution going on very much anywhere in the world. It used to go on in a lot of places, but it's not anymore. Why? Because the devotees could not maintain their Krishna consciousness. Because part, you know, this going out and selling some paraphernalia, making money, this is just business. There's no preaching in this. Actually, one shouldn't preach. One just becomes like a
a door-to-door salesman of, you know, like they come selling brushes or something. And then after having made a lot of money, then one goes and passes out the books. And also there's not a challenge there. Sankirtan is a yagya. So yagya means sacrifice, that means a challenge. And this is the meaning of keeping yourself sharp. That you're confronting the material energy, you know, directly. And you're using the power that has been invested in you by Lord Chaitanya, by way of the Guru Parampara, in his mission, battling with Maya. That's how you stay sharp. This is what Arjuna did in the Battle of Kurukshetra. Arjuna didn't go out and hire a bunch of mercenaries, you know, mercenary soldiers to fight for him, while he stayed back in the tent and watched television. And then got on his walkie-talkie some reports. Yes! We're making progress. Oh, very good. You know, some tricky means like that. That's not a soldier. See, Srila Prabhupada said, lion is king of beast. But that doesn't mean that a lion just lays around and the animals walk into his mouth. A lion has to do something. He's king of beasts because of his action. Because he goes out and hunts. He's a ferocious creature. All the other animals fear him. So therefore he's called king of beasts. Not that the king should find some way, I'm the king, so let me just relax, enjoy, not do anything. Then he's not a king anymore. So, you know, just taking the bare framework of what you've said, I agree with it. But then we have to look closer at what is this technique. So if the technique is that you are, as a book distributor yourself, read Srila Prabhupada's books, and you absorb the purport, the message into yourself, and you become expert gradually. As you're going out, you become more and more expert. You practice in preaching to people and asking them, and when you stop someone, have you ever thought about your life, the direction of your life? Have you ever thought about this? Where you're going? You know, you're working for your family, but where is all this going? Have you ever, you know, things like putting questions into their minds that they, you know, stopped them. Well, yeah, sometimes I think about that. I really, and I don't have an answer to it either. Well, this book has the answer. You know, condensing the philosophy down to a few statements that you can give in the space of 10 seconds that are powerful. This is the technique. Statements that just, you know, turn on a light in this person's mind. Yes, I have to have that book. That's right. You see, because they're human beings, after all. These people on the street, they're human beings. It's Kali Yuga, they're very degraded and fallen. But as human beings, every one of these people have doubts about their own life. You know, everyone has their moment. You know, sometime in the course of a day or a week, period of time, they have some moment where they, you know, everything has gone wrong, and they're just staring off into space wondering, what is all this for? What is this life for? Why? Why does this happen to me? So everybody has that in the back of their mind. So a book distributor who's going to distribute on the strength of Srila Prabhupada's books has to become expert in tapping into that, because that's really that thinking process, that doubting in the back of these people's mind. That is really what separates them from the animals. I mean, that is the essence of their humanity. And the problem is that there's so much Maya out there in this Kali Yuga society that it's always being covered over. They're doubting, and then, you know, the girlfriend comes and kisses them, and then, you know, everything's all right again. Or, you know, they start watching Donald Duck and on television, and, you know, become hypnotized again. You know, so. But it's there. It's there in the back of their mind. And a preacher, book distributor, who's actually preaching on the strength of the books, distributing on the strength of the books, he is expert in tapping into that essence of the humanity, finding out that doubt, that back room in the mind somewhere where the doubts are, and opening it up and say, "My dear sir, you have real doubts about your life, don't you? Just see." "Yeah, you're right. So, I have a book for you that will address these doubts. Your doubts are not being addressed when you read newspaper, when you watch television, is it?" "No, I have to say, it's true. I have these doubts. I don't know where to get answers. So this is the book. And this is the technique."
It's a little bit like you get into the consciousness, like you have to think actually told by the mind what to do, but actually you take the role.
Now you've got it. Yeah, this is the power. This is the power of the Sankirtan devotee. Because the Sankirtan devotee, just like there's so many salesmen in the world, and they're representing IBM or Philips or, you know, so many other, huh?
SAE,
okay, whatever it is. So many other companies. So the book distributor, who does he represent? He represents Paramatma, Super Soul. Paramatma's in their heart, and where those doubts are coming from there. Because the Super Soul, he's reminding them from time to time, "You're in Maya. You're in the human form of life. You have a purpose in this human form of life to get out of Maya." So Super Soul from time to time is reminding them of this. And they can't shake it off. Human form of life, you can't shake it off. It's there. So a book distributor represents, he's the Paramatma's representative. So if one is really the Paramatma's representative, then, you know, immediately one should be able, just in the short space of a few seconds, to tap into these hidden doubts. In other words, just by the presence of the book distributor, the Paramatma, the connection with the Paramatma and that person becomes very strong. This is the success. This is the big book distributors in ISKCON, like Harinamananda Prabhu, Navina Nirada Prabhu. You talk to them and this is all they're doing. This is actually what they're doing. They're reminding the person of Krishna. They're reminding the person of the purpose of their life. And it's you know, but as I said, this is not to be achieved by some alchemy or, you know, some magic. It's very straightforward. If you have the desire to preach, see, our biggest hindrance, I was saying the other Sankirtan meeting, it's fear is our greatest problem. And the fear results in impersonalism. That you do the book distribution mechanically. You know, the people are there on the street, but you're not seeing them as persons. You just, you know, want to somehow hit them, that expression, hit them up. Somehow get them to take a book and then get rid of, you know, get away from this karmi, this... And there's always this struggle, you know, that the book distributor is actually, he's distributing books in the mood of, "I'm in danger, I'm in great danger, I'm surrounded by karmis, and I have to distribute some books as fast as I can and just get out of here." When in actual fact, yeah, they're karmis, but within the heart, they're also devotees, sleeping. They're persons. Paramatma is there with them. So one has to become expert in tapping into that real identity, that he's a person, he's a spirit soul, he's a servant of Krishna, and Krishna is there in his heart. And he's suffering because he's not acting as a devotee, he's suffering. So preaching means, just like we preach, just like when we go to give lecture, the lectures that we give, they also follow a pattern. The pattern is, first of all, you want to make the people aware that they're suffering. That this material world, I mean, if you hear my lectures, for instance, I'm always, first of all, giving examples of how everyone's in ignorance and illusion and suffering and don't know what they're doing. And the world is absurd, and, you know, what is the point of this material life? And this is how you preach. First of all, you get people to see their situation, and you get them to agree to it. You know, you get up a vibration of sympathy. "Yeah, that's right. What am I doing?" And then you give the answer, the second stage. So a book distributor also must do like this. But the thing, the challenge is within 10 seconds. First 5 seconds, get them to understand they're, you know, get them to accept that they're an illusion. But the thing is, again, it's not hard, because they are. Paramatma is in their heart. Paramatma is there, and he is reminding them. And they do have their, you know, I mean, they're all dressed up, you know, looking very self-confident, all these young men and ladies, you know, that's the style, to look very self-confident, I'm cool, I'm, you know. But it's all a sham. You know, inside there's a very insecure person who has all kinds of doubts and is very embarrassed about his own failings in life, and, you know, very, you know, has all these complexes, inferiority complexes, and, you know, wondering if anybody really likes me, or, you know, and wondering what does life mean. I mean, they all have this. It's there. It's just that they're misled. That's the problem. They're misled by this mayic society. But it's there. I try to keep it hidden. So it's your duty as a book distributor to reach into the heart. Just like a, you know, a quick heart operation. Just like Bhima Sena, you know, with that Dushishan. When he got Dushishan in the battle, he had promised that I'm going to drink the blood from your heart. So when he finally confronted Dushishan, he reached into his chest, pulled out his heart, took a bite from it. And he did it so fast that Dushishan was still able to see it. Before he died, he did it so fast. And blood was running down, and he was laughing. Ha 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 ha. He wanted Dushishan to see this, that's what he did. So Sagar Devotee has to be so fast, in the course of a few seconds, to reach into the heart and pull out these doubts. And every one of them has them. And this is in your heart. You doubt. You have problems. You hide them away, but you have them, don't you? Yes. So here's the answer. Take this book.
When I find they have the argument that, yeah, well, all the Christians say this, Buddhists say this, so what kind of proof do you have that this is the right
way? Just read the book. You won't get books like this from Buddhists and Christians. If you want to distribute these books, Krishna will help you. Krishna will give you the intelligence. Just that you have to really want to. You have to really want to save these conditioned souls. You have to understand that saving them is saving you. We all come to this movement because we want to be delivered from Maya. But I can tell you, quite frankly, that this is the surest and safest way to deliver yourself from Maya, is to deliver others by distributing Prabhupada's books. To become fixed in this. You know, to really feel compassion, to go beyond the, you know, just seeing the gross external covering, or even the subtle, the mind, you know, people's minds. So many people, they're just nonsense. Their minds are nonsense. And you see them on the street and they laugh at you, Hare Krishna, ha ha ha. But this is also just a covering, it's just the mind, it's not the real person. Any other questions? What do you think, Bhakti Nanabel?
I like it.
You like it?
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes I wonder about Bhakti Nanabel. When I see her, she's looking into space. I wonder if she's always there.
She did 50 books this day, one day, 48.
Then that means she's looking into Krishna Loka. Okay, then it's okay. Sometimes I just wonder, I see her, she's... Well, if you distribute 50 books in a day, then keep looking up. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada's transcendental sankirtan ki jai.
Sosotavaraj ki jai.